Thank you all so much for being here. My name is Dayal Barangadas, and I'm here with a team of devotees here at the Bhakti Center, co-facilitating this presentation in partnership with communities and yatras in the northeast area of the United States. And welcome to all of you who are here in the local area, as well as those tuning in from all over the world. It's really beautiful to see this global community come together for the opportunity to hear and relish Krishna and Gaur Katha. This is the third part series for those if you happen to be joining in for the first time. This is the third part of a five-part series on the five facets of divine truth of Sri Sri Panchatattva. So the last 2 weeks we began with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on to Nityananda, and today we'll be discuss the life and teachings of Advaita Acharya. Maharaj has been leading us in beautiful songs and poetry, verses related to these beautiful personalities, as well as sharing their life and teachings in a way that's very practical for us. We've been sending out some worksheets, handout sheets that you can take with you. So if you're in the live Zoom room, we post those in our chat, and also if you're on the Bhakti Center's temple newsletter, we send those out there as well. If you're not on that newsletter, please write to us or put in the chat or go to bhakticenter.org and you can find ways to get on our temple newsletter where you'll get updates about these classes as well as the worksheets. At the end of this class, Maharaj will speak for about an hour, and at the end we'll have time for questions and answers. If you have a question, please type them in the chat to Venkatabhatta Prabhu, who's one of our co-hosts. He will field your question and ask on each person's behalf. You can let him know if you'd like the question to be anonymous or if you'd like to have your name mentioned so Maharaj knows who the question is coming from. And also, before the questions and answers begin, please stick around. We have a beautiful, we've been sharing these beautiful videos of altars and deities in Mayapur, where we are making offerings of all the devotees here to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and these great personalities. So we'd like to share a video with you, a short video of Sridhar Mayapur and the surrounding area, holy places in the surrounding area of Sridhar Mayapur. So please stick around for that, as well as some other important announcements. And without further ado, we'd like to welcome His Holiness Sachinanda Swami to the microphone. Maharaj needs little to no introduction. We're all here because we love you dearly and inspired by you. And I'll just share my own extraordinary sense of gratitude, appreciation for your love, for your affection, for your wisdom, for your lifetime of dedication. Thank you so much for being here, Maharaj, and we look forward to hearing and being enlightened by you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Welcome, everyone. I must also say that giving this series is life-giving to me also. I very much appreciate the subject matter and the whole framing of it. So today we will go into the glories of Advaita Acharya. Let us just recap a little. I think we all know that the Absolute Truth has various facets. Just like the sun, we see the sun as rays, we see it as a planet. And if we would be able to enter the planet Sun on a more subtle level, we would also see a divine personality there. So just like the sun has so many facets, the Absolute Truth has various facets, and in this seminar we are discussing five of them, which all have something to do with us. All these facets are inviting us to enter an exciting living relationship with that one supreme truth. Just like the different facets in a cut diamond are all really the same diamond. In the same way, these five facets of divine truth are all identical with Krishna, but they give us a certain perspective, a certain approach. So Advaita Acharya, the third member of the fivefold truth, the Panchatattva, is the Pancharatrika Vidhi Ashraya. That means he is in charge of the path of regulated devotional service. If you, in other words, approach Advaita Acharya, you can obtain from him a certain strength in your devotional service that will empower and inspire you. Advaita Acharya is known as a form of the Lord where Mahavishnu and Sadashiva join together, and that means a huge accumulation of divine power is there. I would love to start today's seminar with really putting a certain emphasis on how you can enter a living relationship with the Lord. How do we do this in bhakti? How do we contact him? How do we, come into a contact that is dynamic and vibrant? The first thing is we either glorify or we listen to glorifications. And the second way to establish a relationship is through seva, which means service, or worship. So in the first part of our little seminar, we will glorify Advaita Acharya, and you will hopefully learn some useful new things for you. And in the second part, we will have a seva or a worship of Advaita Acharya. So let us start. We will look at the first slide, which is the pranam mantra, or the mantra through which we offer our obeisances to Advaita Acharya. Yes, here it is. Nishtarita shesha janam dayalum. I would suggest that you join me. Nishtarita shesha janam dayalum premam ritabdo parimagna chittam chaitanya chandradritam achitam tam advaita chandram shirasya namami. The translation: I offer my obeisances unto the merciful Sri Advaita Chandra, whose heart is inundated by the ocean of prema. It means his heart is flooded with love. He delivers an infinite numbers of devotees and is honored and worshipped by Sri Chaitanya Chandra. I would like to first of all focus on one item here. He delivers infinite numbers of devotees. This points towards the compassion of Advaita Acharya. We can take the slide now down. You will get this in your handout. There is a particular pastime that is shared throughout the tradition, the Gaudiya tradition, which sheds light into the divine, let us say, truth of Advaita Acharya. Once in the spiritual world, I don't think we can speak of time there. We cannot say once upon a time or such things. Sadashiva, the original Lord Shiva, sat in meditation, and his mind went into the future, where he saw the arrival of the wicked age of Kali, an age that destroys all the good qualities in a human being. Yet this age can sometimes bring out the worstest of people, and we do see this whenever there are wars, and people begin to act in and do atrocities that are not possible to imagine. This is part of Kali Yuga, this age. So Sadashiva saw all these scenes of the future in his mystic trance, and he became so worried and so filled with compassion that he went to the milk ocean and sat down on the shore. What he wanted to do is, he wanted to make contact with the Lord Mahavishnu, who was lying down in deep mystical slumber. Just try to imagine the image here. Shiva with his locks of hair, his trident, his drum, sitting down and begins to meditate. And as he meditated, he formed a determined decision in his mind. He said, I will do special austerities in order to move the Lord to appear in this age. So he decided to sit down for 700 years and not move, and just meditate about the Lord and asked him, please appear. So after only a short time, Mahavishnu appeared before him and said, you and me are one. Why do you do austerities in order to beg me for something? We are one. And as Shiva came out of his meditation, his eyes were drenched with tears because he thought of how to help people in this age of Kali. And he sees Mahavishnu before him, and both of them embrace. And as they embrace, they become one. I think I only know when I see a very dear friend after a long, long time, and I embrace him for greeting. I do feel, yes, now we are together. Now we are, the separation has been ended, and we are together. So in the spiritual domain, such embraces really make people actually experience and feel oneness. So this one form, this form of the combined compassion of Shiva and Vishnu became this mystical form of Advaita Acharya. At that time, the Lord of Death, Yamaraj, came and said, wait. When you will appear now in this form of Advaita, of one, this one form, then I will be out of job. No one will come any longer for punishment to the hellish planets. But this form of Advaita Acharya answered, don't worry. Many fortunate people will take to the waves of love, the nectarian waves of love of God. But there will be some who will not be drowned by these waves. It's those who run away from divine love, the illusionists, those who believe that with activities one can force God to give results, the karmakandis, the false logicians, and all those who are offending and criticizing, they will not be flooded and drenched with my compassion, and they will go to your court, they will go into the house of death. So yeah, let us now study a little bit how did this form of compassion, you can say, this Advaita Acharya, who is a combined, who is Advaita, non-different from God, and who is an Acharya, a teacher, how did he manifest his compassion? I think this is a very real question. See, compassion needs to have an active outlet. Whenever you feel compassionate, you will actually want to do something. And when Advaita Acharya appeared, he actually saw what he had foreseen when he was still in the spiritual dimension and meditating. He saw that the age of Kali was on, full blast. He could see that there was no spirituality left at that time. He felt powerless, and he sat down on the Ganga to propition or beg the Lord to make his personal appearance. It is described. His body was shivering in ecstasy. Before him he had established a small little altar with the form of God, a Shalagam Shila, and he was offering Ganga water and Tulasi to this Shalagam Shila. He said, "I shall worship Krishna in a purified state of mind. I shall constantly petition him in humbleness. My name, Advaita, will be fitting only if I'm able to induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of chanting the holy name." And while he was just thinking about this, a verse came to his mind, which Venkata Bhatta will share with all of us now. This verse is describing that Lord Krishna is very affectionate towards his devotees. In fact, he sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulasi leaf and a palmful of water. I will chant this verse with you because it is a very important verse. Tulasi dala matrena. All of us together. Tulasi dala matrena jalasya chulukena va vikrinite svamatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsala. First class. It means, see, Krishna, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulasi leaf and a palmful of water. My dear devotees, this is profound. If you want to make contact with Krishna, you can take this verse really as a guideline. In your home, you can find some water. Try to take first-class water, not faucet water from the municipality, but some pure water, and bring some leaf or even a flower and offer that to the Lord. He says that he is pleased by such devotional service and accepts the devotee and sometimes offers himself in exchange for the simple offering done with love and devotion. Krishna explains this in Gita, that this worship or seva, where you just do a little puja, water with some flowers or leaf, is very good. If you are, of course, in India, you can use Ganga water and the Tulasi leaf, but any water and any leaves or just a little offering will make the Lord very inclined. Much later, when Lord Chaitanya had actually appeared, Advaita Acharya would sometimes call out, "Anilun, Anilun, I brought you. At the end of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, he actually sent him back. First he called him to appear, to spread the chanting of the holy name. But at the end, he wrote him a poem on a palm leaf. In this poem he expressed, in mystical terms, rice is no longer needed on the marketplace. Everyone has become a madman. What he wanted to say is, now love of God has spread far and wide. You have completed your mission in spreading this love of God. So there is no longer any need for you to stay in this world. Just like you have come, you may now leave again." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read this poem. He became very thoughtful and he set his mind on leaving this world and going to the back to the spiritual world. Yes. There was a very sweet relationship between Advaita Acharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In our little pranam mantra, we had heard that he was honored and worshipped by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya did not like that Advaita Acharya was paying him so much respect, so he often criticized Advaita Acharya and arranged things where he even chastised him. But there was one incident which I would very much love to share with you, where Advaita Acharya, despite Lord Chaitanya telling him to not worship him, turned the tables around. It was in Puri. There were many devotees who had come to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Advaita Acharya addressed them, "Please listen, my dear brothers. Let us all together glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So the devotees thought, the Lord has forbidden us to sing his holy name. The Lord said we should always chant the names of Krishna. He will be angry. But Advaita Acharya said, "I will dance while you sing the glories of Lord Chaitanya. For if I sing as loud as a lion, you will all be frightened. So I will dance. I will not sing, but you have to sing. My singing is very loud and very lion-like." Advaita Acharya was so influential to the devotees, they could not say no. They knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not like if his name would be glorified, but they could not deny Advaita Acharya's request. And then Advaita Acharya began to sing one, he taught them a verse, and by chanting this verse, when you do this, it is said, you will become spiritually rich. Our Venkata Bhatta will give us this verse. Yeah, this is the verse. I will sing it for you, the first line, and then we will sing the whole verse together. Sri Chaitanya Narayana Karuna Sagara. I will sing the same as the whole verse. Dukitera Bandhu Prabhu Moradayakara. Everyone, please. Sri Chaitanya Narayana Karuna Sagara. Dukitera Bandhu Prabhu Moradayakara. All these thousands of devotees were singing, "Oh Lord Chaitanya, you are Lord Narayan himself, you are the Almighty God himself, you are an ocean of mercy, and you are the friend of the distressed. Please be merciful on me." We will give this verse for you in the handout, and if you chant it from time to time, you will see your spiritual opulences, your spiritual realizations, your spiritual strengths, all will be increased amazingly. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he came to the Sankirtan party and he said, "Stop, stop, I told you not to sing my name. You should sing the name of Krishna." And at this time, Srivas Thakur was lifting his hand like this and holding it towards the sun. "What are you doing?" said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "Well," said Srivas Thakur, "I'm trying to cover the sun, but I cannot cover it with this hand." In the same way, you are trying to cover your divine identity, but it is not possible to do it. The sunshines of your glories surround everything and everyone. And it is described when Lord Chaitanya saw the love of his devotees who had disobeyed him and had chanted his name. He went into his house and took a rest. He slept. He understood he can't do anything against it. What a loving relationship was there. Yes, now I want to come to the close here. Although I have so many other things, but I want to speak about Srila Prabhupada's relationship with Advaita Acharya. It was in 1980 where one man came to our ISKCON Mayapur project. He was carrying a Back to Godhead with him, and he told the devotee, "I am the priest in Advaita Bhavan." That's a temple which is built where Lord Advaita Acharya had his dwelling place. "I am the priest of that." And it was around 1940 up to 50 that I noticed every weekend, often a gentleman came dressed in white khadi dress, you know, this white, very, very grossly weaved material. And he would sit at the back of the temple and he would chant the holy name from morning till evening and sometimes cry and plead. Then after for a long time, I did not see him. But then in August 1965, I saw a saffron-clad sannyasi who sat also at the back of the temple at the same place where this Bengali gentleman used to sit. And I had my worship on the altar, but I looked from time to time and he was crying, he was pleading, he was chanting like I've never seen someone before. So when the whole day had elapsed at the end of the day, when he was finished, he got up and he passed by the where I was, and I said, "May I ask you a question? Who are you? You sat at the same spot were enchanted in the same way where this Grihastha's stood came. And then the sannyasi said, "Yes, my name is Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. I'm the unworthy disciple of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada, my eternal spiritual master. I have been coming here for such a long time because my Guru Maharaj has given me an impossible order. He has, he desires that I go across the ocean to the western countries and spread the sublime teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are countless souls over there who have never heard about Radha and Krishna, and they are suffering greatly. I have not known how this mission of his can become successful, so I'm coming here to the house of Advaitacharya, who used to meet here with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And they have been discussing here together how to spread the Sankirtan movement. So I'm asking here for empowerment at this Advaita Bhavan. I'm praying so that they will guide me. I want to satisfy my Guru Maharaj's desire, but I feel totally unqualified to do this." So as the priest continued to say that, as this sannyasi continued to speak, tears began falling from his eyes onto his cheeks, and he said, "Tomorrow I'm leaving for Calcutta to go upon a ship across the ocean to America. I do not know what will befall me there, but I'm praying most earnestly here for help." Then this priest continued to say, "Later I noticed white Vaishnavas coming. I didn't speak to them, but one of them gave me a magazine, and I saw in this magazine, it was an American magazine, the picture of this sannyasi who had come as a grihastha here to pray to Advaitacharya, and I came here to tell you that your spiritual master prayed here." My dear devotees, my dear friends, my dear skeptics also, blessings carry you much further than your own endeavors ever will. And to ask for blessings with a deep, deep desire in your heart will be rewarded in many, many ways. To ask for blessings to Advaitacharya will go a long, long way. I told you that in bhakti we make a relationship to personality in two ways. We hear their glorification, but then we worship them. And we will now enter the second part of our little seminar of Advaitacharya. I will invite you to meditate along with me. I will invite you to sing a song with Gaura Krishna. And finally, we will see videos where you can pray for Advaitacharya. Then we will have time for questions and answer. So, are you ready to start? Second part, your worship, your seva is required. Look at this very ancient In India, you would say photo of Advaitacharya, this painting. It is very traditional. It is from a long time back. I request you to find an undisturbed sitting place where you can relax or center yourself. Sit in a erect fashion. Let us do a quick centering exercise. Please bring your attention to your feet. Move up to your knees, your thighs, to your sitting bones, and relax. Move up your spine and relax the lower back. Go to the upper back and relax the chest and relax and the belly. Bring your attention to your two shoulders. Move down over your elbows to the palms. And relax. Move to the back of your head. The top of your head. Your forehead. And relax. Relax your facial muscles. And appreciate how you are entirely relaxed yet very alert. Focus your attention now on your breath. Whenever you inhale, feel how your chest rises. And whenever you exhale, feel how your chest sinks. Deep in and exhalations. And you breathe in and breathe out. Know that you breathe in and out. Stay with your breath. Now, imagine you breathe into your heart space. There in your heart, you meditate about Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya's lotus feet are served by all devotees. He bestows benedictions and awards fearlessness to everyone. Advaitacharya has a bright golden effulgence. He has strong arms his vision is fixed on Lord Gauranga. On his body there are signs of love. He is covered with white cloth, as dazzling bright as the white kunda flower. May we always remember Advaita Chandra, the personification of bliss. You may now take a few deep breaths and slowly open your eyes, because we will sing now a song to Advaita Acharya. We will request our Venkata Bhatta to zoom in this song. It is called Jaya Jaya Advaita Acharya. I will read to you the lines, or let us say the translations. This is always my favorite part, because these ancient songs which have been sung since hundreds of years really carry so much meaning. All glories to the teacher Advaita, who's full of mercy and whose pealing roar invoked the avatar of Gaura. Once again, please, everyone. Jaya Jaya Advaita Acharya, Daya of love, the Lord of Sita, the ocean of compassion, and the one whose prema rasa brought Lord Chaitanya. Everybody, please sing. Sita Nata Karuna Sagara Jape Mara Se Aila Ranga Sundara. receives his mercy, on whom he bestows his kind glance. That blessed one becomes immersed in prema and love, and sings the divine excellences of Gaura. Please, everyone. Refuge at his feet, acquired the greatest wealth of Gaura Prema. Says, why did I not adore such a repository of bounding grace? By that I've brought a thunderbolt upon my own head. This was our little worship. Please know, when you stand before God, your question will be, how can I serve you? How can I worship you? That will establish the relationship and make it very tight, even if you approach the Lord with this motive here in this world. We will now look at two videos where our list of names which you have supplied to us is offered to the lotus feet of Advaitacharya and Sridhar Mayapur first, and then we have actually managed to go to the Advaita Bhavan. The priest who is now there is a little overwhelmed when we videoed him. You will see when you hold the camera before a person in Navadvip, they freeze and they become very serious. So he will, don't become bewildered when you see it. He's a good man. He has actually offered the yagya to you. So we will see the videos, I think, now. Yes, here's the first video. You see on the left side Advaitacharya. Oh, this is the second. We can also see that video first. This is the priest in Advaita Bhavan.
Feet, lotus feet.
Lotus feet. So afterwards, he put all these names. These are few pieces of paper with names on the lotus feet of Advaitacharya. The wonderful Vaishnav here. So it came on the lotus feet of Advaitacharya. We will see now the second video of our Sridhar Mayapur temple. Here you see all these sheets of paper at the feet of Advaitacharya. And you might pray Hare Krishna. Maybe this is one of the best parts of the whole seminar, this offering the names to the lotus feet and then praying for blessings. Praying sincerely for blessings. Actually, this praying for blessing is something which Srila Prabhupada spoke about. He spoke of the most simple form of worship, which I think is available to everyone. It's a very simple process which we introduce now. Venkatapata will show us the slide, and then please know these are all in your handouts, prayers and many goodies are in the handout. Good. What is this process? The process is very simple. Prabhupada here is I like this photo. This is where he is preaching to someone about Krishna consciousness, right on the field, so to say, of meeting conditioned souls. He says, just keep a picture of Lord Chaitanya with his associates, Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhara and Srivas. Anyone can have this picture in his home. chant this Hare Krishna mantra and thus worship Lord Chaitanya. Then one will realize God. So we have supplied in the handout a picture for you. See, this is showing the Panchatattva. In the middle, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On his right and our left, Nityananda, then Advaita Acharya. And on Lord Chaitanya's left side, Gadadha, and then Srivas Thakur, the devotee who's shaved his hair. Such a picture can be kept in the home. Then one can chant the holy name before this picture, pray for blessings, and in the end one will realize God. A simple process, simple worship, and very effective. I thank you very much, Venkata Bhatta. We become a team like anything. I would like to end this presentation before I come and then go over to the question and answer session. I want to share with you what was important for me to present and what I think you can take away from all of this. First of all, the value of compassion. Advaita Acharya can be best understood as Sadashiva, seeing the misery and the suffering which people would undergo due to a lack of enlightened spiritual knowledge. And he prayed, and the Lord combined with him, and they came as Advaita Acharya into this world, and then called the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear. I think if we want to connect with Advaita Acharya very much, it's important to connect with this feeling of compassion. We saw this in our little community where devotees did this. See, our little community, it's not a little community, it's actually a big community, had become a little bit asunder because of the lockdown rules, which were very strict here in Germany. They wouldn't be able to meet regularly. There was a small group who nevertheless met and did kirtan, but the bigger group could not meet conveniently. And we had, maybe without wanting it, moved a little apart from each other. Then the news struck that just before our door there is this huge conflict going on with victims of war victims. That is terrible. And everyone in our community felt, oh, we should do something. And so we organized many things. We raised Lakshmi, or money, to send into the country of Ukraine. We sent a bus, and we got refugees out of the country, and we supply them living. And that is, it's a huge thing. Living doesn't mean just food and water and sleeping. It means also activities. It means a purpose, something worthwhile to live for, and so on. So we become, we get out of our way to provide all this. Sometimes one cooks the breakfast, sometimes another is just sitting with the people and hears them out, and all these things. Many of them are devotees who are responding very favorable to you know, they asked us if we can do kirtan, etc. So that is very That compassionate act, this was my point, brought us all together in one effort. I think when all of us learn to do a compassionate act like Advaitacharya, following the mood of Advaitacharya, that will bring us away from our own selfishness. Human beings have this this drive in them to see that they can survive, and if it's exaggerated, this drive, it becomes selfishness, and it makes a person lose his spiritual considerations and effulgence. So the compassion, that's the first takeaway. Try to do something actively. Compassion can start in your family, with the people with whom you live together, and it can extend from there to many in many creative ways. The second point which I wanted to bring to your attention is Advaitacharya is considered to be the storehouse who can give who can give us bhakti or devotional service. We can pray to Advaitacharya or the Lord. My dear Lord, I have forgotten. My spiritual life has become a little shallow, unfortunately. But today I'm turning to you with a humble request. Please accept me as your servant. I'm very serious about it. I'm sincerely asking you, please accept me. And this, such a sincere prayer, will 100% will be accepted. Yes, this was about Advaitacharya. Stay tuned in. We are not finished. Next Saturday, Gadadhara Pandit. Oh, Gadadhara Pandit. And now we have time for questions. We have about 25 minutes. And my dear devotees, you should note, I'm on time. This is a very, very rare commodity. Please give me some encouragement. I'm really on time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Maharaj, we always love to hear from you. So whether when you go over time, it's extra joyous and mercy for us, so we're happy with that. But we're also so appreciative of just the effort that you put in and how thoughtful you are to try to keep within the time and leave some time for us to have a good, robust question and answer session. So we have a number of questions came in. I have to say, for some reason, by Advaitacharya's mystic, inconceivable arrangement, devotees are a little shy today, so we have many more anonymous questions than named questions today. But we encourage devotees to continue to send questions, and I will get us started with the first question, which again is an anonymous one, and it reads, thank you, Maharaj. You explained how Mahavishnu told Lord Shiva, you and I are one. We sometimes read statements like this even in the Bhagavatam. But we also learn that we should not consider the name of Lord Shiva to be equal to the name of Lord Vishnu. How do we understand this?
Yes. God is an extended subject matter, Prabhupada used to say. Yes, there are many aspects of him which are different aspects. So looking from one perspective, Shiva or Sada Shiva, which is the original Shiva from which all the other forms have come, is never superior to the Lord, or is never he is a differentiated part, so to say that. But just like the particle of the sun, the spark of the sun is one with the sun, another translation of this first apparat reads, one Shiva and the Lord are one. There is one form in Navadvip which celebrates it. You see there Vishnu sitting, and his half in a blackish form, and his other half, which is there, a half, is whitish on Vishnu's side. You see the insignia of Vishnu, and on the side of that whitish form, you see the trident, the drum of Shiva. This form is called Harihara. It is the combined form of Vishnu and Shiva, and celebrates their oneness in difference. Their oneness in difference. Yeah. Oh, here. Oh, Gokrishna has just this form. It is. How did you get this, Gokrishna? I'm. Oops. Can you see? Venkata, can you see? It's
so much beautiful.
Yeah, it's the one Shiva and Vishnu in this one form. No, do you see on your left hand side? You see the Vishnu holding chakra and the club, and on your right hand side, you see Shiva holding the trident, and yeah, this point of is really explained a lot in this book, Chaitanya Bhagavat. There, Lord Chaitanya says, one who sees a difference between Shiva and Vishnu, he is not seeing it correctly. My dear devotees, it's just like this. In their love for each other, they are one. But still, they are two. When you meet your loving friend and you embrace, you feel like one. I have no knowledge of what happens in the Grihastha ashram, but I can assume when there is a couple and they have a very pure loving relationship and they embrace, then they feel as one. But still they are, of course, two people with two distinct names. And yeah, in America, two bank accounts. I'm sorry, I like to joke about modern people. Yes, so what is the next question?
Thank you, Maharaj. Our next question comes from Preeti. And Preeti asks first of all, thank you for always inspiring us. And Preeti asks, this picture behind you and the deity that is next to you is so truly mesmerizing. Can you please share something about them and perhaps their connection to Advaita Acharya?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Preeti, is Preeti the Preeti from England?
I'm not sure, Preeti, if you're with us, if you want to let us know where you're from.
It's all right. It's all right. I always get bewildered because the computer gives the this here is Gopal Raj, Gopal the king. You can see his left hand and his pinky in the upward position. He's carrying the Giriraj Govardhan. And on this side, the other side here, is Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi, the goddess of the forest of Vrindavan, who has her parents, messengers, their parrot messengers, who tell her all the news about Radha and Krishna, where they are at the moment and what they require for their pastimes. She's, so to say, Yeah, the Lila Shakti, she arranges the divine pastimes in the forest of Vrindavan. Maybe at another time I could show you around. We have many such pictures and deities where I live, because I always think when we live, we should put everywhere udipans, or those things which stimulate our memory of Radha and Krishna. Our living space should be equipped with these stimuli, so that we live together with our ideals. We are mindful of our ideals, and then we will aspire for our ideals and not be overwhelmed with a thousand of things which need to be done throughout the day. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Our next question comes from our very own Gaurkumar Prabhu. Gaurkumar asks, how will we know if our prayers to Advaita Acharya are genuine? And how will we know that the Lord is actually entering our hearts? Will we experience any symptoms? Is there any feeling or experience that will confirm for us that that prayer is being heard?
In order to say a meaningful prayer, you need to first establish a relationship with the personality or the divine personality to whom you are praying. This is the first step in prayer, to establish a relationship. You must know who that person is. You must know something about him so that you can make connection. And then comes a very important step. You must move from your mind into your heart. What this means is a prayer should not just be a mental construction or a repetition of something you have heard and that makes sense to you, but it should, a prayer should be said with the strength of the heart. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, we find Narada Muni praying, and it is said he goes into his heart. Also in the eighth canto of the Bhagavatam, we find Gajendra praying, Manas Hridayate, his mind goes into his heart, meaning that he will not just use intellectual concept, but he will really connect with devotional feelings and so on. You have asked, when do we know that our questions are answered? Usually, when you pray and they are genuine prayers said with a divine connection, then you feel bhakti rise in your heart. But what that means is you will feel a sense of joy, and you will also feel the calmness of knowledge. You will understand, this is what I need to do, or this is, you will feel safe in some deeper understanding. See, bhakti is composed of two energies, Ladini and Samvit. To translate that maybe into modern terminology, it means the pleasure potency and knowledge. And to even translate it into the phalanx. Phalanx means the use of language that we are accustomed to in our times. When you really feel bhakti, when you are invested with bhakti, when you are in a bhakti relationship with Krishna, you feel joyous and you feel insights in you. When you have made connection, you always feel these two components. It's almost like when you touch a live wire, you feel electricity. So when you touch bhakti, you do feel this joy and this calm knowledge. Krishna may answer your prayers in various ways, Gop Kumar. Often we think, well, he should answer like this, and we look in this direction where we think Krishna will answer our prayer. But sometimes Krishna says, oh, he prays for this, but he really wants this, but he cannot express it, or he does not know what is good for him. So you will sometimes obtain an answer from another direction. Sometimes you look for a guest that he should come through this door, but we live in a house where one can come through the main door or through the kitchen door. Very often our guests come through the kitchen door, and if we just look at the main door, we may miss our guests. We will not. The house is not so big. I mean, we can't miss our guests, but it's an analogy. We look often in one direction for answers, but Krishna may come through another direction. Yes, these are some thoughts on your question. Wonderful question, Gop Kumar. Yes, Venkatabhata, next question, please.
So Maharaj, also in the spirit of asking about prayers to Advaita Acharya and the prayers of Advaita Acharya, Ananda Bihari Prabhu and Chinmayi Radha Devi ask, what is our ultimate aspiration as devotees? To bring Krishna here, as Sri Advaita Acharya did, or to go back to Godhead? Or are those two things essentially the same?
Wow. Ooh. There's something you must know about prayer. Prayers have to be heartfelt and real. I can say something which I know I should say, but I can't pray something which I know I should pray for. Then these prayers, they are not heartfelt, they are not real. There is a statement in Vrindavan. The people who live in Vrindavan know that Giriraj he's really known for answering prayers. So you see little boys and girls in their school uniform going around Govardhan and praying, oh, I did not learn anything, please let me pass my exam. And yes, very often they pass their exam because Giriraj is making it possible. There is a book out, it is called Loving Stones, and there the author, David Haberman, has really researched the literature and the people in Vrindavan and has found out that Giriraj has really fulfilled the most impossible prayers. You know, there were people on their deathbed and their relatives came to pray for them that they would live, and they recovered miraculously from cancer and other fatal illnesses. But when you are entering bhakti, Giriraj and say bhakti prayer, Giriraj is not just fulfilling the prayers. It is said that he will see, oh, this year you asked for a bhakti object, like love of Godhead, but let me see if you come back next year and if you pray for the same thing. Then when you come back the next year and you again pray, oh, please give me bhakti, Giriraj will say, ah, let us see if you come the next year and want this also. In this way, you are tested a few times, because Giriraj needs to see, or Krishna needs to see, that you're not just saying, I want this, and in your heart you want something else. In my life as a devotee, I have often seen that Krishna fulfills heartfelt prayers and not duty-bound prayers. He looks for what is in the heart, not what is on the lips. Yes, so when you ask me, what is the prayer of a devotee? Is it to go back to Godhead or to call God into the world? See what is in your heart. and both are very wonderful. But, Advaitacharya could pray for Krishna, for Lord Chaitanya to appear in the world. I don't know if Krishna will listen exactly in the same way as he listened to Advaitacharya, at least not to me, I don't know. But in a general way, you can pray like this. Maybe he will not make an avatar, he will not become an avatar, a new avatar in Manhattan because you pray, but in a general way, he may appear in some person's mind and direct them through a bewildered face, a face of bewilderment. That is possible. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. What a beautiful answer. I was also just reflecting on this last point that you made, and I'm so glad that you're encouraging us to also think about the Lord's appearance in that way, especially in difficult times in our lives. We, in the interest of time, we have one final question, and then we'll have to bring it to a close. We sincerely apologize to all the devotees who didn't have the opportunity to ask their question this time, and we hope that in future sessions they'll be able to ask. But the final question, we're going to switch gears a little bit, and I hope we're not going to start any controversies, but the question reads, Maharaj, in the meditation, you shared a very beautiful but unusual picture of Advaita Acharya appearing without white hair and beard. So why is it that sometimes Advaita Acharya is depicted like this, but usually we see, especially in ISKCON, the images of Advaita Acharya are with white hair and beard?
Thank you very much. And in fact, this is a sweet beard controversy. this has been discussed very intensely in Vaishnava communities. Is he wearing a beard and has white hair? This would mean he's under the influence of time. And I don't know. You can see here it's becoming white. It's some chemical combination in the body and that makes the hair white. So is a divine personality like this, or is he eternally young? This is a genuine question, and I will answer the question like this. Advaita Acharya was on this planet Earth for 125 years, just like Krishna. But different from Krishna, whose age is divided in three parts, Advaitacharya's stay, this 125 years, is divided in five parts. Komara, childhood, Poganda, boyhood, Kaishora, youth. Krishna stops there. He's eternally youthful. Although he stayed longer, but Advaitacharya went on to Yovana, adulthood, and Vardakya, or transcendental old age. So according to our recognized teachers of bhakti, Advaita Acharya, in his idealized form, stays in eternal Navadvip, ever young. So he has no black hair, no white hair, and no beard, certainly not a white beard. He looks ever fresh, just like a youth, despite his old, so to say, old age. So you can find the reference to this youthful and unburdened, I hope I say it correctly, unburdened Advaitacharya in Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's writings. The eternally young, fresh, and so on. However, Vaishnava Acharyas have also concluded that during his pastime here on earth, Advaitacharya was the senior most Vaishnava, who went through these two periods of adulthood and transcendental or old age. He was some 50 years older than Mahaprabhu, and he in this form sports a white beard and a white hair. You have maybe seen in Mayapur, in the temple, he is worshipped with white hair and white beard. And in Advaita Bhavan, he is worshipped with black hair and no beard. And both are correct. For his pastimes, he goes through the various phases of time. But in the eternal spiritual realm, he is ever fresh and untouched by time. So I call this the very sweet beard controversy. Was it clear what I tried to say? Was the language comprehensible?
Very much, Maharaj. Thank you so much. It was a really wonderful answer and helps us to come to an understanding of both and rather than either or. So it resolves the controversy very sweetly in a very expansive way. Thank you.
And by the way, Venkata Bhatta and all of you wonderful devotees out there, many spiritual phenomena cannot be incarcerated in the Aristotelian logic that either this is true or that is true. A third option is true. Both can be true. And many more options are there in the spiritual world. We talk about a dimension which is achintya, that means incomprehensible to the material mind. Hare Krishna. Good. So I can't believe we want to stop on time, really, because all of us have a busy life and devotional service, but we are all right here. Hare Krishna. So I will stop here. I thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much. I don't know if I can speak for everybody, but I know that many of us would not like to end on time with you and have continued Sangha ongoing.